thanks to all the musicians, I think it seems evident that we need to get a larger stage. So, yeah, that's cool. Yep, that is very cool. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you're here. Help us to be here. And we pray that as we take and continue on this road trip through your word, that you might remind us of its significance and its importance for our lives even today. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us and would lead us, and that as we take this journey, that your word would become fresh and new to us even this morning, that you would open our hearts and our minds to the things that you would have for us as we spend time in it. And Lord, I pray that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. So we are 2 weeks, this is our second week now on a sermon series entitled Road Trip, and we are going to be taking a extremely quick, super fast, 6-week journey through Scripture. We're going to go through all 66 books of the Bible. You're like, oh no, and it'll be okay. We're gonna talk about them, okay? We're not gonna go through each one, obviously, because that would just be impossible. Last week we spent some time talking about how my hope is that we're gonna look at Scripture from sort of a 30,000-40,000 foot view and try to capture the overarching story from Genesis through Revelation, and kind of picking some points along the way, some connection points along the way. Last week was our starting point, and we focused on the story of Abraham and how when we looked at Abraham, he was sort of the starting point for kind of God interacting with Abraham in a way that started sort of the Israelites. Abraham often was referred to as the father of faith, the father of Israel. And so we kind of spent some time focusing on Abraham's life as sort of the starting point. And there were some things that we looked at for Abraham that we said, okay, it looks like God is working and talking and meeting with Abraham in a way that there are ways, hopefully, that we can relate to. One of the things that we talked about last week was the ways in which God, when he meets us, oftentimes will challenge us or call us to leave something behind, right? The story of Abraham, and he finds God meets him in this place, and he says, I want you to leave your people. I want you to leave this people. I want you to leave this land, all the stuff, and I want you to go. You don't know exactly where you're going to go yet, but I'm going to show you, but I want you to leave something behind. And as we think about our own relationships and our walks of faith, it's not uncommon for us to find that God is asking us, maybe even this morning as you're sitting here. It was interesting to hear some of you gave me some feedback from last week, which I appreciate so much, and said, I feel like God is calling me, is challenging me to leave something behind. And how you are working with and wrestling through that. We talked about leaving something behind. We talked about there was a point when you have to make a decision. There was a point when Abraham had to make a decision to actually go. It's one thing to hear God calling. It's another thing to actually make the decision to follow his voice, right? So we have to make a decision. And then we talked about trusting the map. That God has a map for us. He's going to lead us somewhere. I was, just this past week, was down at a conference down in Franklin, Tennessee, which is just south of Nashville. And it was the same one that I went to last year. Remember when I came back and I was like, I want to open a cigar bar. Anybody in with me? Right. So it was the same one. So just so you know, it's on my calendar for next year too. So it's a conference that I appreciate and I enjoy. And so one of the things that I, as many of us do, right, you've got everything packed up, you're ready to go, you get in your car and you're on your phone and you put in the address of the hotel and you say, get directions. And then this magical blue line shows up on your phone, and it just shows you the way. Even though I have no idea, really, I mean, I have an idea where I'm going, but, I mean, the turns and the where and the when is not always clear, so I just find myself getting the directions, and I'm following this blue line as I go. Are there times in your life when you find yourself... you're looking for direction, right? When you wish you could pull out your phone and you could put in the current relational situation that you're in, you could put it into Google Maps and you could say, get directions. And there would be a blue line that would show you, oh, here's what your relationship should be or look like, and it leads you to where you want to go, right? Or you're thinking about, my faith journey has just been, here's my current status of, here's my current location on my faith journey. I punch it into the map, and I say, get directions. And sometimes, I don't know if you've had that, where in your life you encounter people who are asking those big life questions. Questions that you and I wrestle with too, right? Suffering. What's the deal with that? Grief. Loss. Health issues. Relationships. Job stuff. The purpose of life. What is even all of this about? Many of us have wrestled with those questions or have interacted with individuals who come at us and go, oh, so you're a Christian, huh? You go to church? Well, then give me directions on this. This morning we're going to take a look at the wisdom writings of the Old Testament. In Hebrew literature, oftentimes in your Bible, this is going to kind of be from the book of Job, or Job, to Song of Songs, or sometimes it's also called Song of Solomon. And in this, and in these books, which we in the Old Testament are classified as the wisdom literature, we find a couple of things that are characteristics of this type of literature. It's practical advice for everyday living. It's going to wrestle with the common questions of life, like, what's the purpose? Suffering, why do we have to suffer? And the classic wisdom literature of that text in the Old Testament is our good friend Job. So you want to talk about and you want to wrestle with suffering, read the book of Job. These big questions of life. And the other characteristic that's important to recognize in this wisdom literature of the Old Testament scriptures is there's a deep reverence and commitment to God. So even in the midst of the wrestling, right, with all of these big life questions, what's my purpose? Why do we have to suffer? Where am I supposed to go? How do we get there? Even in the midst of that, as you read these this literature, you find that there is a deep reverence and commitment to God, which we should be encouraged and find hope in, so that even if you are this morning going, this whole Christianity thing, I'm not sure about it at all. That even in the midst of that questioning, in that doubt, in that wrestling, that God can show up. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 23. And we're gonna spend time in this psalm this morning. Kind of tear it apart a little bit and see what God might have for us as we continue on this road trip through Scripture. Psalm 23, I'm going to read from the NIV. You'll see the words here on the screen in a second. And there's a chance that you may have heard this psalm before. And if not, hear these words from David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, some translations will say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So dark places. Even when I walk through the dark places, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I want to look at this in just a couple of ways. I think that hopefully there will be at least one, if not a couple of the ways in which we approach this passage as we look at wisdom literature, but just kind of target in on this passage, on this psalm, that may be a couple ways in which, as we spend some time with it this morning, that you might find that connects with you. The first thing that to be thinking about when we look at wisdom literature and as we look at this passage and to be reminded of the character of God is that God provides. God provides. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack not a thing. I lack nothing. Right, David is in a culture in that day where he grew up as a shepherd, and so when he talks about this idea of being a shepherd, that was something that he lived in, he understood, right? The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd's role was to do what? Was to care for the flock, for the sheep, and to make sure that they were leading the sheep in the places where they would find food and they would find water and they would find shelter. The job of the shepherd was to make sure that the sheep lacked nothing. And so when we think about the way in which God meets with us and the wrestling with the directions of life, and if you're this morning going, I need some direction. I don't know what's happening or going on in my life. It feels chaotic. It feels, maybe you're in the dark valley, right? Maybe you're in the shadow and maybe death isn't the thing, but it feels like death. And you need some direction. You need to be able to go, I want to press the button that just says, get directions. Is it possible that one of the ways or some of the direction that God might give us is to be reminded that he provides? That he provides through us and for us. God provides for us and our needs. He's aware of them. He cares about them. We hear Jesus say, when he talks about, is the sparrow, he cares for the sparrow, will he not also care for you that much more? God provides through us. Is there the possibility that there is someone in your life right now that God is wanting to use you to be that provision? And I'm not talking about writing some check, but I'm talking about maybe a relationship or maybe somehow that you could be the very presence of God for someone and that you might in a way provide, that you will be the vessel by which God provides to them through you. God provides. God renews. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. It is at our own peril that we need rest. And we are terrible at it. As a culture, we do not know how to rest. For whatever reason, it has become a cultural badge of honor to wear the craziness of our schedules. That we're like, when we talk to our friends and our family and we're like, oh my gosh, I had this, I went to this, I did this, I did that, and then I took them there and I went here and I went there and I did this and I did that and I did that. And we wear it like, in a way it is a badge of honor, right? The fact that we're still relatively sane, though maybe statistically it would show us that we're probably not as sane as we think. That we think we're relatively healthy when probably statistically, mentally, physically, socially, spiritually, relationally, we're probably not as healthy as we think, but we wear the badge like, I survived. So maybe we survived, right? And we wear this badge of craziness as like somehow it's, we do it on social media, right? And it feeds this for us. Isn't that the best? When you can go on Facebook and you can like write down all of the craziness of your day. And then all of your friends are like. Or they comment, they're like, oh my gosh, how do you do it? And you're like, I don't know, but I got this badge of crazy that I wear. So it's interesting that in this passage, you'll note that the verse says, he makes me lie down. If we are not smart enough to take the rest, God is going to make us rest. And for some of us, we're living in that right now. Because I know some of your stories, and some of your stories, God has kind of, in his graceful, loving way, kind of reached down and said, you know what? I'm going to move. Boop. You're going to rest now. I am going to make you rest because you aren't capable of doing it on your own. Do we not read that in this passage? We want to get direction, right? We want to know where to go in our lives. We want to know what to do. And God wants to renew us. And yet we're not smart enough on our own to take the time and to be renewed. I had the opportunity to see somebody in the hospital, and oftentimes it's interesting how whether God is doing it or we come to the realization or the revelation around that way, that God uses health as a way to make us rest. Do I think that God is going to break your leg so that you'll just sit and rest? No, that's a weird kind of picture of God. But do I think that in the midst of your recovery of a broken leg, that God might be like, hey, rest might not be a bad idea. And oftentimes when I go visit people in the hospital, they say that exact thing. You know, I'm laying here and it looks like my prognosis is good. I'm going to have some recovery ahead of me. So, and I'm realizing that maybe I just need to say no to some stuff. And as I sit next to him, I'm like, you think? I go, oh, you know, that's really great to hear that God's working in your life in that way and that the Spirit's leading you to think about that. God wants to renew us. And and David says, you make me lie down because at my own peril, I need it and I fail to do it. So many of us are just so tired. And the scary thing is for those of us who are parents, we're passing it down to our kids. Like our kids see the craziness and then it just becomes, the crazy becomes normal of the schedule and of the going and the nonstop and the nonstop and the nonstop. And then they become incapable of just being. And I see this with my own kids. And so many of us are just so tired. God guides us. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. This is a lot about listening for a voice, and whose voice are you listening to or are you listening for? It's interesting to me how often we get mad when we don't hear God's voice, but we really, in fact, are ignoring him. According to Nielsen, which is the company that does the rating, you know, TV rating stuff, the typical American spends nearly 5 hours with TV a day. So if you're less than that, then props, right? You're below average. The average typical American, this is, and notice that the ratings that they actually are able to keep or to track are TV that's happening in front of us, not Netflix. So Netflix would be an additional thing, right? So God desires to guide us. It's a voice that we're listening for or listening to. And so we talk about, I've got like 30 seconds to read this random passage that showed up in my email from the Bible, but I can throw hours at the TV. And then we get mad when we don't hear God's voice. God desires to guide us. So when we are looking for direction, it seems like the map is only as helpful as it is as we pay attention to it. If we're looking for direction, then whose voice are we listening to and are we listening for? I mean, God speaks to us through his word. It is his word. He speaks to us in our conversation with him in prayer. He speaks to us in and through our relationships with each other. But we also have to be listening for his voice. God desires to guide us. But we have to pay attention to the map. God protects and he comforts. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and staff were crucial tools to the shepherd. The rod was used to fend off, to protect the predators that would come along the way as the shepherd would have to lead the flock through sometimes these sort of cavernous paths to get from one pasture to the next, or maybe to get to water or to try to get back home before evening falls. And as you're winding through these dark passageways that it wouldn't have been uncommon for a predator to know that was a great time to snag a sheep. And so the shepherd would use the rod as a means of protection. Oftentimes I think we have no idea of the evil that could enter our lives. And God protects us. Now the staff was, it's exactly as you can picture, like the shepherd's staff that has the hook on it. And the staff was about comfort. It was about salvation. It wasn't used to beat the sheep, but rather to save them as they were about to walk off a cliff, to pull them into the care and the comfort of the shepherd. Have you had times in your life when you can feel like God is wrapping I'd like to think of more of God's arms than some sort of like staff that he's reaching out, like he doesn't really want to touch us, but that God would actually embrace us with his arms as the staff of the shepherd and providing you comfort even in the darkest valleys? I mean, isn't it great to think about when we read through the Old Testament, we read through the Psalm, and God desires to protect us and to comfort us. I wonder if God's rod and his staff is not his son himself, Jesus? That Jesus is the one who not only provides protection, but also the one who desires to bring us in and say, I want to give you comfort. Is it not Jesus who said, those of you who are weary and burdened, come to me and I'll do what? Yeah, I'll give you rest, right? I want to pull you in and I want to comfort you. Even in the midst of the shadows that maybe you're walking in right now. God protects and he comforts. This might be my favorite one. Well, my favorite or second favorite. God desires to bless. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. We read this and we're like, this makes no sense to us at all. We read it and we're like, it'd be really awkward to sit and have dinner like in front of my enemies. Like that's awkward. We talk about, or we read the anointing my head with oil and we're like, well, that's weird and we'll get my hair all gross. But in the Old Testament, it was seen as a way of recognizing God's spirit on an individual. So when you've got this picture, and you can read it through the Old Testament of times where there were individuals who were anointed with oil, and the oil, it was poured on the head and sometimes even came down and flowed on and through their face. And that was a way of seeing God's spirit and his blessing. And God desires to bless you. He would so much prefer to bless than punish. If you are a parent or have ever had to just deal with kids, right? It's way more fun to bless than to punish. It's way more fun and sometimes even easier for us, and sometimes this is the struggle of any sort of authority figure in the life of a child, teacher, parent, grand, whatever it is, right? It's sometimes we want to befriend more so than we need to be parent or authority. And so it's just like we want to bless these kids. We want to have fun. We want to love. We want to bless. God is the same way. God desires to bless you. Punishment is always the correction to bring back to. And sometimes that's necessary, right? We've all grown up, and there were times when our parents had to discipline us, and we can look back on it and go, yeah, that was totally legit. Like, I totally should have got my butt whooped on that one. Because we go, yeah, I needed the correction. But God prefers to, desires to bless. To me, this is about God accepting you and approving of you. Some of you here this morning are sitting here and going, there is no way that God accepts me or approves of me. And you need to know that that is just not true. That God loves you and he desires to bless you. That he accepts you. And he approves of you so much so that he loves you where you are, but there is no way that he's going to leave you there. God desires and he wants to bless. The last one, which maybe is my favorite. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is pursuing you. And not in some sort of scary, creepy way, but in a way that is so full of love, so full of a desire to bless you, to protect you, to comfort you, to keep you. That is the motivation by which God is pursuing you, so much so that he would send a part of himself and his son to die on a tree, to say, I have gone to the very ends of the earth to pursue you in and through my love. And I'm going to keep pursuing you with that love. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. As I was driving, I ran into some detour. Man, there was a lot, now that I think about it, there was a lot of construction going on from my drive from here to there. And which is, of course, super annoying. At the same time, I get that it's going to be better at some point. But at the moment, it was really annoying. And I ran into a detour, and my phone did not tell me about this detour, right? So I was like, how smart are you really? Dumb smartphone. Okay, so I'm going, and I run into this detour, and it was actually in Bloomington. I went to go by there to pick up a friend and to keep going. And I don't know Bloomington very well at all. And so I ran into, like, this detour, and... But I'm also a dude, so I was like, I can figure this out. Detour, those signs are for people who don't have a smartphone or whatever, right? And so I'm like, I think I have an idea of where I'm going enough to, so I kind of pass the detour, and I'm like, I can figure this out. And then realize that I can't, right? At some point, I'm like, I don't know where I'm going, and I can't figure this out. And so I stop, and this is where maybe my phone is somewhat smart, that you can start over on your phone. You can go, okay, the destination has not changed. However, my current location, I don't know what it is or where it is, but my current location has changed and it's no longer on the blue line. And so I can stop and I can say, get directions from current location. And I wonder if that is not God pursuing us and giving us the opportunity to always stop and press get directions from current location. And for some of us, when we think about the blue line of our faith and our journey with God, we had an idea of where this blue line was going, and maybe we're not on the blue line anymore. And God is pursuing us in a way to say, oh, that is of no worry to me. God is not going, ooh, Matt, you have gotten to a place where I cannot get you out of. God is simply saying, why don't you just pull over? Why don't you press the button that says, get directions from current location, and I'm going to show you the new way to get to your destination. Believe that God is pursuing us in that way, that he can always bring us back to the blue line. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that you desire and that you're willing to provide for us. that you renew us, that you guide us, that you protect and comfort us, that you want to bless us, and that you never stop pursuing us. Lord, we're humbled and we're grateful that you always give us the opportunity to recalibrate. That there is no place that we've ever gone or that will ever be where we will be lost from your love and your grace. That it will always find us and it will always reach us. And so I pray this morning that you would help those of us who find ourselves off of the blue line, off of the place where we thought we were going and we ended up down this road that we don't know and we didn't intend to go, and that you give us the opportunity to get directions, even from there. Lord, we know that there are some of us here this morning who find ourselves in the dark places. And we're thankful that you reach even into those crevices, even into those cracks, even into those valleys of darkness. And we pray that you would lead us out of those places. And as long as maybe we have to journey there, may we know and be reminded that you are walking there with us. So that even in the midst of the shadows, your rod and your staff, they protect us and they comfort us. And so we pray that you might show up in our lives, that you might guide us, and that you might use us, we pray.